Well, amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
He's good all the time.
All the time.
And he's especially good to me this week. He has brought me and my whole family through the flu bug. And I feel like I've really accomplished something.
Praise God.
I haven't had the flu since I was about 15 and I'm almost 34. And oh my word. That was a devil, and I couldn't cast it out enough. I mean, it just was something. But anyhow, I'm not going to give any more time to sickness and infirmity because it doesn't have a place here, and it certainly doesn't have a place in the message. I'm grateful for what God is doing, and let's go to Romans chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. And it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. And this morning I'm going to be talking about trials and I'm going to be talking about tribulation because I like to minister about things that people actually go through. And I like to keep it real so it can be relatable. I don't think a lot of ministers are relatable because we don't like to talk about certain things because they're unpleasant. But we all have trials. We all have tribulation. And thank God because it says in His Word that He's overcome all those things. But it says right here that we have been justified. Now let me tell you something. When a trial hits you, the first thing that you want to do is you want to justify everything that's going on. When you are acting wrong, how many of you have acted wrong in the middle of a trial? Amen. That's called our flesh, and our flesh wants to do the wrong thing when we get up in the middle of a trial because, hey, we're human. But you know what? There is no reason to justify anything because it says we've already been justified. Everything else, every other form of justification that we try to pour on our trials and our tribulation, it's all in vain because we've already been justified. What Jesus said He would do for us in that trial, we got to go with what God said. It may not be what you like. It may not be what you wanted to hear. It may be a tall order. It may not be what you want to do. It may not have been the outcome that you thought was going to happen. But God says that He's justified the situation. Amen. And there's no need for any more justification on our part. Because there's things about the trial, see, that we can make harder or we can make them smoother. Now, I've been miserable to the point, Jody, I don't like to be miserable. I'm for the simplest way this is going to be handled. I told the Lord, Lord, simplicity. I'm even losing my hankering for liking to argue with people. It has come at a very hefty giving up on my part. But I'm realizing that, see, that's not what God has for His people. I've already been justified. Any more justification that I pour out on it is just sin on my part. And so it says, we've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access. And see, everybody's wanting to gain something. Your enemy is wanting to gain something.
Yep.
Amen?
Yes.
Now, let me tell you something. They used to call me Ellie Mae. I'm going to spit this cough drop out. I'll probably put it back in my mouth at some point in this message. That's just how that's going to go. I may get choked up. You're going to look past that. Brenda, if I start choking too bad, you come up here and get me. She has changed my naked rear end when I was 15 years old in the back of a bus going to Mexico. She's seen it all. She knows it all. So she's going to be the one doing it. Mother's unable right now. So anyhow, I've lost all modesty on that end. But we've gained access. And what I've learned is, you know what? Selfish gain. Selfish gain is going to try to get up in somebody. When you're going through a trial, and sometimes the devil wants you to feel a certain way about something, and you got to learn how to feel the right way.
Amen.
Let me say that again. He's amening me, but he's dad, and he's pastor. You got to teach yourself how to feel the right way about something. When yourself wants to get offended, you got to tell yourself, stop being stupid. Now that's just telling it flat out.
Yes.
People don't like flat out. If you're listening to me by streaming, you're going to hear it because it's going to be straight up.
Yep.
We've gained some access. So when the Bible says, I've helped you to gain, God wants you to stop losing at this thing called life. How do we lose in our trials and our tribulation? We take up things that were never meant to carry. Amen. God says that He's got it, so give it to Him. Stop picking it up. And it says, we've gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And thank God, because He gives you the ability to stand when other people... See, we like to go through trials, Brother Alvin. We like to say, well, look at so-and-so. Look what they've done. Well, why? We like to do all this justification. But you know what God says? Stop looking at them, because see, they've fallen, and I've caused you to be able to stand in hard places where everybody else would have fallen. But see, my grace is on you. So stop justifying what Sally Sue over here is doing. Start doing what I've told you to do. Because see, God has things for you in the trial. And I was talking to Dad the other day. And really, see, the Spirit of Truth will come up in your life. And you'll say something out of your mouth that you haven't been able to quite articulate. And see, you'll be in the middle of the episode where God is present, and you'll say it out of your own mouth. See, and then when you can hear yourself say something, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I was talking to him, and he said, well, Kelly, why haven't you done such and such yet? And I said, because truthfully, I haven't had the release from the Holy Spirit to give me permission to do that. I've thought 100 times about calling them folks. I've thought 100 times about going down there. I've thought 100 times about handling it my way. But when it comes down to it, by golly, if God can't move, then why am I serving Him? But I'm going to tell you something that I'm certain of. God can move. God will move. When it looks like He's not moving, He's moving, and He's moving in a mighty way. We got to step over, got to step out of the way, got to let Him have His way. Amen? And I said, I haven't felt the release from the Holy Spirit that says I can do it. See, I've gone out of God's will before, and I've done things that God didn't tell me to do, and I've lived to regret them. And I said, and to be honest with you, the reason God hasn't given me the release is because apparently I'm still not ready. I hate that. I want to be ready. Apparently, there's still some glory out of the situation somehow, some way that God's going to get out of the situation. See, the trial that you're in, it's not all about you. Newsflash, I mean, I've been one of those people, I thought it was all about me, but the Lord has told me otherwise. And it ain't all about me. And Friday I said something, Brenda, and when I said it, it pierced through all this stuff, all the torment that had been going on for months. And I said, to be honest with you, Dad, I don't want to lose the recovery that I have worked so hard to get.
Yeah.
The person that I gave up being, I don't want to be her again. I don't want to be that person that gets mad and writes somebody off for years at a time. See, that's who I was, a bitter, angry person. See, who are you today? Who are you been in this trial that you're going through? Amen. And I'm here to tell you that, you know what? There's some beauty in your trial if you'll look again. Some of the worst things I've been through, I cherish them today because I met Jesus right up in that thing. If it wasn't for the struggle, I would not know Jesus like I know Him today. I would not love Him the way that I love Him today. See, years ago, it's hard. I'm going to share my heart. We're going to see where this is going to go. I've grown up a preacher's kid my entire life. It's been very difficult. Brenda, I've been cynical. I've been rude. I've been hard-hearted. But most of all, I've had a heart that says people can't change. And it's affected me my entire life. God started ministering to me about this subject when Colton was 4 months old, my youngest child. And He said, I want you to let Brenda watch him. I thought, you do? Well, now are you aware, Lord, of what Brenda used to do? He said, Kelly, people can change. And I said, okay. Brenda's had him for about 4 years now. But let me tell you something, folks. People can change. And why is that relevant? Because if people can change, that means you, my brother, you, my sister, can change. See, I was so hard-hearted, and I thought, oh, I don't know. But Brenda's been the biggest blessing to me. When I count my blessings, Brenda's right there at the very top. She couldn't be more family than if she was in my blood family. That's how I feel about her. But see, God said, Kelly, people can change, people can change, people can change. When I started going through this trial, God said, Kelly, you can change. You can change. You can care about people. You can love people. You can turn the other cheek. You can get over that. You can change that thing in you that's not been right for the entire time. See, why is it relevant that people can change? Because if people can change, you can change. See, we get stuck in our ways, stuck thinking, I'm always going to feel this way about this person. No, pray God give you grace for your enemy. See, for the people you don't like, the people that's hurt you, the people that's messed you up in your life, pray for them. Love them. I know something's changing in me because, man, I don't know a more hateful person when it comes to somebody that I don't like more than myself. But God has changed me. He's beginning to change how I feel about my enemy. And it's come at a lot of giving up who I am. But you know what? Who I am is really nothing without Him. And so it says, and now we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Now let me tell you something. God's poured it out. He's poured it out on our lives. He knows exactly what He's doing. He's pouring out favor. He's pouring out provision. He's pouring out that forgiveness that you don't got. See, you're right to say, God, I just don't got it for that person. Well, thank God, because you can finally speak some truth. You don't got it for somebody, be honest with yourself. A lot of people, they try to act like, I like everybody. It's all good. Yeah. No, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. You don't like them, and you talk about them every time you get a chance to. Now, let's be honest. See, because if you can be honest with yourself, then and only then can you begin to be honest with the one that created you. See, the one that can fix the situation, He doesn't work out of dishonest people. Not going to happen. Amen. The trial of your faith, it's worth something. It's extremely valuable. And you know what? It's producing something in you that is making you exactly who you ought to be. Amen. Now let's go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 9. And it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, and be devoted to one another in brotherly love. See, there's a lot of people playing church. They're no more devoted to their church family, anything about the church. But you know what? Be devoted. Why? Because it's the people who you think you're going to go to heaven with. Now, God has a sense of humor. I dumped a guy the wrong time, or not the wrong time. That was right when I dumped him. That was right. But I dumped a guy the wrong way one time. The Lord made him my neighbor for 8 years. Jeremy was out there one day mowing the yard. Jeremy's the sweetest person. If you don't like Jeremy, it's kind of like you don't like Sister Millie. You got a problem. He was out there mowing the yard, and I was looking at him, and sweet old Jer, he was just mowing the yard. He looked over at this guy, and he was waving, just nice as he could be. And that guy didn't wave back. He just went like this. And Jeremy came in the house, and he goes, Kelly, our neighbor, I was waving at him. He didn't wave back. I thought, well, the way I dumped him, he ain't going to wave back at nobody. Look, dude ain't even looking over this way. Amen. But you know what? You got to treat people the way you want to be treated. Because what I'm learning is God can handle things lots of ways. How do you want it? You want it nice and easy? Or you want it not so nice and easy? Amen. But hey, be devoted to one another, honor one another above yourselves, and never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Now, I'm going to tell you, one of the things I can commend a lot of people in this church over is y'all are very zealous. Y'all have a lot of zeal. Now, let me also say this. If Pastor and I could get that turned around, and all that zeal pointed in the right direction, more often than not, we'd be good. Because it says, be zealous, but keep your spiritual fervor. Be zealous, but stop telling that person off, because it's never helped. Stop cussing them out, because you never get anywhere when you do that. Stop giving them a piece of your mind, because that one day you're going to come up, you know, without several pieces. Okay? Amen. Amen. So, be joyful in hope and patient in affliction. I was going down my stairs several months ago, and I was just crying. And I said, God, I can't take this anymore. Now look, when you can make somebody like me say, I can't take it no more. Boy, I'm a rough old girl. There's a lot of things I can take. I didn't get this reputation by accident. God said, Kelly, you can take this one more day. Guess what I did? I took it several more days after that. Because you know what? A lot of that extra time was time that I tacked on by bad decisions and by bad things that I done. Amen? Now let's keep it real. It's like when you're talking to your kid. I say, Carson, now, you're going to read 3 books, but if you keep smart-mouthing me, it's going to be about 10 by the time you get done. See how we want to fix this here? You know, what do we want to do? I tacked on a lot of extra time. Y'all getting this?
Yeah.
All right, I'll go on. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 12 through 13. And it says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instruction when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation." Let me get this in my Bible. I'm not liking that. And I'm not as quick on the draw today as I normally am. But hey, Casey and I used to play a game, and she's winning today. I just know it. And I hate every minute of that statement, because she's better at me than everything else. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." See, what I've learned about God is God foresees the trial and the tribulation so far back before it actually happens. He plans for it so far in advance that when it shows up at your doorstep, see, it rains on the just and the unjust. Things happen to Christians and believers. Things happen to sinners and non-believers. That's what we're living with. That's the world that we live in. Amen. But what I've seen in my past and in my present and in my whole life is that there was never a trial that when I got in the thick of it, Mama Brenda, I always marvel because I look back and I see years of preparation that got me to this point where I could be and do what I should do in the trial and the tribulation. There were things that God provided for way back because He knew that this day was coming. See, God loves you. He's not left you. He knew this was going to happen. He knew it was going to unfold. All this stuff, He knew it. He's got you right where He wants you to be. Amen. There's a lot of things that, you know, you think, why did this happen? Why did that go on? And you come up and you get into that trial and you look and you think, God knew this was going to happen. He was getting me ready. He was getting this prepared. And you know what? Work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Why? Because Your salvation is the only one you're given an account for.
Right.
About 2 years ago, Stephanie, I said, I was about 30 then. I had an epiphany one day on my way to work. And I realized that being a Christian was work. Who knew that? Not me. I said, "Dad, I got on the phone with him because he called me because I just started having these troubles really thick." And I said, "I never realized that when you were up there preaching and you were saying work out your own salvation, that it was an actual workout." Who knew? I don't like working out. Not any which way, shape, or form. But it's a workout to work out your own salvation. Amen. Now, we got a lot of people and they like to try to work out other people's salvation because it's easy to do. It's easy to be a nitpicker. It's easy to be critical. It's easy to be a gossip. It's easy to hate somebody. But it's not so easy to say, you know what? That person's just having a hard time in their life. That person's just going through something. I'm going to give them a little bit of grace. You know, people can change. And the trial of your faith is very valuable. God wants you to see a lot of value in what you're going through. Because it is not breaking you down. It feels like it. It feels horrible. When you're going through something and you're hurting really badly, it's an awful feeling. When your heart is broken and you feel defeated and you feel abandoned and you feel lonely and you feel like it's all going down this time, see, that's a terrible feeling. But that right there, man, God talks about, you know what, man? I'm going to heal every broken thing. That right there, God, that's a valuable thing. Because you know what? God's making you into the little rock star that you're going to be right there in that bad place. I wish we was all made when everything's going good. When is that? Y'all tell me, it seems like there's always something going on. Why is it always something? Because it's this world that we're living in. That's why God's Word says, don't conform to it. You conform to it, you're going to be just like it. And when you're just like it, see, then you're going to be asking for God's face and hand to move. See, God don't work like that. This is not a, you do this, God, and I'll do that. No, it's God, I'm going to give it all up, regardless of what you do, Lord, because I love you and I trust you. This is not a deal. This is not, let's make a deal. Right. Who are you going to be today? Amen?
Amen.
Now let's go to James chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 2 through 8. And it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let me tell you what this world is full of. A lot of people that start stuff, they never finish. People start all kind of things. They never get around to finishing them. Those things, you know what? It's saying, I'm helping you be a finisher. Because you know what? I'm going to get you some perseverance. I'm going to let you go through some things. Does God design this heartache and all this stuff? Absolutely not. Does He know that it's coming? Absolutely. Does He know how to get you to a point in your life where you'll finally surrender and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry for the person I've been. God, I'm sorry for the disappointing things I've done. God, I'm sorry for all the times I didn't listen. I was bragging on Shelly the other day. I was telling Dad, Shelly's been in our family for a long time, since she was about 12 years old. And Shelly, to all my memory, in the 20-something years I've known her, she has never apologized to me. Not about anything. Why? Well, because she's never been sorry. I mean, that's simple, Albie. No need to look into it. I mean, that's it. I'll be danged. She has apologized to me 2 times in the last about 2 weeks. Oh my gosh. Can people change? Can people go through things that break them down so much that they realize they need God? Can people change so much that they start living differently? That they start behaving differently? Yes, they can. Amen. I want you to believe people can change so much that you believe that you can change. God worked on me for about change for 4 years before I started thinking about it. He said, Kelly, look at Brenda. She's changed. I thought, God, people can't change. I've looked at this my whole life. I've been through this my whole life. People don't change. Look what they do. No, people change. And it's the grace of God and the love of God that changes them to be better people. Don't hate what you're going through so bad that you totally miss the very beauty in it. Because there is beauty in your trial. There are things that God is going to uncover for you just in the right moment. There's things that you've not seen that are coming out of y'all, talents and things and prosperity and things that are coming out. But you know what? Work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling, because Brother Alvy, God wants to move. He wants to move in a mighty, mighty way. But you know what? We have to believe we can change. We have to believe that I'm not going through this trial for nothing. This trial is producing me. That's what it's producing. Man, though I be tried on every way, I'm pressed every direction, but God hasn't allowed me to fail not one time. He's lifted me up when I thought I couldn't be lifted. He's loved me, man, when I thought, man, I'm a jerk. He's given me a chance after chance to get it right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God loves us in our trials, Sister Cindy. It's very valuable. It's very dear to God's heart. You think God likes seeing you go through it? God gets no enjoyment out of that.
Nope.
But what He gets, the finished product of His kid that's now changed. And He, and see, God, see, God's making, where do you think beauty for ashes comes from?
Man. Something that's burnt up.
You know, when you're in the fiery furnace, and you feel like all is wasted, all is gone, all that was for nothing.
Yeah.
I've been there. I said, God, I don't want to. I said, Dad, I don't want to lose my recovery in a day. He said, Kelly, you won't lose your recovery in a day. You may fall down. You may say the wrong thing, but you'll get right back up. See, and that's, I've heard so many people say, I'm afraid to get out of drug court. I'm afraid to get out of the system. As Christians, need to be even more honest than that. Sometimes I'm afraid of what my own self will do, because I'm unsure. Sometimes I don't even know how I woke up that particular morning until somebody pushes me the wrong direction. Then I realize I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. It was news to me. I didn't know till they irritated me. Dad always goes, what kind of mood are we in today? I honestly don't know. I'll let you know when I figure it out. Poor Jeremy, he never knows. He just stopped trying. And it says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, there's a bunch of immature things going on in the church world today. Why are they going on? Because there ain't nobody sitting nose to nose with those people saying, you're not going to do this. Because those people aren't looking themselves in the mirror saying, you're not going to do this. We have justified things so much to where when we're doing wrong, we think we're doing right.
That's right.
Because we've justified it to the point we believe it. I justified being awful to my enemy one too many times, and I didn't even realize I was that way. Were they that way to me? Absolutely. Does that matter? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. See, when you're going through something, you can't be saying, well, God, look at them. Look at that. Because God's liable to tell you, you pay attention to you.
Yep.
Now, what about you? See, forget about them. How many times did God tell that to people in the Bible? Stop worrying about them. Tons. I mean, He's like, don't worry about that dude. You follow me. Don't you worry about what he's doing.
Right.
Let the dead bury the dead. You want to follow me? Come on. Stop worrying about what's going on over there. Let's go. See, people, world's full of people that say, I want to follow Jesus, and then, well, I got this on Sunday. I'm not going to act right on Monday. I'm certainly not going to act right on Tuesday. Wednesday, I may go to church. If the pastor preaches on something I don't like, I'm going to skip two services just to show him I'm the boss. That ain't hurting pastor. That's hurting you. You're going to miss out on something. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter. Nope. Yep. You know, I was thinking about that flu bug that I had. That was a terrible little sickness. I was thinking about all the crazy things. You know, when you're sick, you'll think crazy things. I had bought a box of Samoas from the Girl Scouts. I like to support folks, you know, especially them cookies. I was getting heat flashes. I stripped all the way down, Alvy, and I was eating them Samoas. Jeremy came in. You know what I did with them Samoas, Jody? I put them under the pillow. Jeremy is not getting these flu Samoas. Got that? I ordered another box because I like to support people. He didn't get any of them either. I got a cold chill. I put my clothes back on. Covers back up. Where are them Samoas? I got them out again. See? I'm going to skip a couple verses. Let's go to actually Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to get to the good part of this because we've got a few minutes to get to it. My point in them Samoas was you got to be committed. Come chills, come hot flashes, come fever, come snotty nose. Them things was mine. Nobody else's. It did not squelch my appetite. I think I've gained 10 pounds with that flu bug. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 4. This is a verse for every person that feels like what you're going through is a permanent thing. Like you feel like you're not going to get out of this trial. You're getting out of it. Does not matter how it feels. You're not supposed to go by what you feel or by what something looks like. Those things are all passing. Amen. But it says, every valley shall be raised up. The valley that you're going through today, it's just that. It's something that you're going through. God says every valley will be raised up. See, it's not always like this. The valley that you're walking through, you're simply walking through it. It's a valley, and the Word of God says, I'll raise it up. But hey, when you're in the valley, look, because there's a lot of value right there, and you're missing out in the beauty of what you're going through. If you're going to have to go through it, see, there's things that you have to go through. It's a part of your destiny. It's a part of what is getting you from simply point A to point B. There is no other way to get through it besides just walking through it. God said, I'll raise that valley up. But in the meantime, I want you to see the value in what you're going through because it is priceless. The trial of your faith is priceless because you know what? Out of that is who you are. Out of that is the breakthrough. Out of that is the blessing. Amen. Every valley shall be raised up. Last place for me, John chapter 16 and verse 33. And it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And this message was started on Friday because Dad and I were talking together and I was writing down some scriptures. And this was after I didn't feel good. I was kind of emotional. You get emotional when you don't feel good. And I said, Dad, I don't want to lose my recovery because I didn't listen to what God was telling me to do. He didn't say I could do it yet, so I'm holding off. And he said, Kelly, the trial of your faith is more precious than anything. And I said, Dad, I want you to read because the verses I just wrote down are those exactly. That's what God is trying to say to his kids. Kids, I got you. Hold on just a little bit longer. Listen, the trial of your faith, it's very precious. And that's what I have for you this morning. Amen. Let's welcome Pastor back up here.
Praise God. He that does not sleep, he that does not slumber, he always believes that you can change what the rare thing is and what tribulation and affliction causes if you're in the hands of God, if you'll not run off, is that you'll begin to believe that you can change. The moment that you begin to believe that you can change about anything in your life, you are already armed and deadly. And you'll look back at those times that you dreaded. And you'll say, but that's the time when I begin to see more than ever before I needed to change some things. And that was the time when I began to pray again. This time I prayed, you know, Lord, change me. Change me. You know, on the high of the mountaintops, very few things grow. In those valleys of disappointment, those valleys of loss, those valleys of shame, if you're being taught right, what do I do with my shame? What do I do with my failure? Well, I'm like God, and it took me many years to realize this. Every day, I have to wake up and believe that we can change. Notice I kind of scooted myself in there. 6 months ago, I didn't even want to talk to God about Shelley. I thought, God, you made a mistake, or nothing I've done, nothing I've done or said or given has changed this child. And then one day, see, it all culminated. One day the furnace got hot enough that it began to burn off the impurities and the gold began to come forth. You can change. The people that you believe in can change. What they need is a consistent assault of loving kindness, patience, and truth coming from you to them. There was a time I never thought I'd see this young fella back in church. You listen to me. Don't give up your dreams about yourself, because you can change. Would you stand with me? Oh God, the moment of truth is here. The presence of truth is here. Sanctify them with your truth, O Lord, and your word is truth. You want to change? Believe that you can change. Believe that you can change. Sometimes in a message, in one message, something you can see a little bit different. If you're here this morning, as Jeremy puts some music on, and as we close the service, if you say, you know, Angelo, I wonder. I think I could change. If that's you, come up here. I'm not going to ask you to pray anything. Your coming says, Lord God, as for me and my heart got the message. I'm going to stop not believing in your work that you're doing in me. Those of you that are hearing this message in another way, you can change. Believe in yourself. Believe in the power of God to lead you in such a direction, though it be uncomfortable, though it be unpleasant. Believe in your heart, it's a direction of change. And if you would, everybody in the house, everybody that's driving, now you have to be careful when you're driving. I don't want you to put both hands up. I got pulled over last night by the police. Did you have both hands up? No, I was just, speeding? No. The young fella said, you know, Brother Angelo, he said, you know why I stopped? I said, I really don't know. I don't think I was speeding. He said, no, you just crossed over that line. Hear me now. You just crossed over that line. You just crossed over that line. Look at me. You crossed over that line two times. I was just making sure everything's okay. You crossed over that line. That's all you had to do. You crossed over that line. I wanted to make sure you're okay. When I found out that you were the recovery leader in Paris, Arkansas, I didn't think you was high. But you crossed over that line. I was just checking. You crossed over the line two times. You weren't speeding. You crossed over a line. Ivan loves me. He said, you know what? Now hear me. I don't think you crossed over that line, Pop. Now you know what I told him? I think I did. Do I remember doing it? No. But you know what? I believe in God enough. I believe in these policemen enough. That most of the time, they're not trying to jerk somebody's chain. They're making sure you're okay. See? And we got this haughtiness about us. And I said, no, Evan. I'll bet you I crossed over that line two times, just like you told me. Think about that. Do you think? We said this. I don't think. Anywhere you are, that you got there by accident. What I mean is, I think there's value in you being there. I think if it's something unpleasant, when you come out of there, it's going to be better. And as Kelly and I talked, and I saw last night what she's going to preach on, the trial of her faith, being more precious, honestly, because that's what I've been telling her. Nothing's wasted. It's worth something. It's worth something. Well, I didn't think I was going the wrong way. Well, maybe God did. Maybe the Lord that can see tomorrow, maybe he thought he just needed to bring you back, pull you in just a little bit. Would you lift up your hands? Everyone that knows God loves them. Now, if you're driving, just lift up one hand. But we're drinking in the purpose of gathering together. The purpose of gathering together at any time, no matter what it looks like, is that God would gather his children into a place called a church to bless them. Now, that is the absolute truth. And having said that, I say this unto you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his presence, his great heart and love upon you, and give you peace and prosperity, and give you correction when you need it, and give you praise when you need it. In Jesus' name, and all the people said, Amen. God bless you.